additional proposals for that. They proposed 18-6 to provide us for a short title and name of the proposed act and commencement date for this book. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Soleil. I now want to give an opportunity to the provincial department if you wish to give input.
I just want more clarity on section 4, where the NHS proposed that they will only provide training to its own personnel. Because in the clinical environment, there's a lot of agreements between NHS and health on the training of clinical training. So how is that going to affect that? And your students that needs to do practical from the universities of technology, as well as the forensic registrars.
I'm going to also give an opportunity to the NCOP representative, if you wish to give input. Dr. Belay, if you can just switch off your mic now.
Oh, sorry.
Good morning once again to everybody. I just want to display, to give clarity on page 6, on clause number 5. Clause 5, bullet, the bottom bullet, the last one. It is further proposed that the board of is accountable to the minister. And I want to know you to give clarity whether to the provincial minister to the national minister. Furthermore, the bill did come to the NCOP and it was presented, and the national minister, Aaron Motsoaledi, was also part of the people that had come. I just want to state it up front that it had come to the NCOP. If you could just give clarity to that effect. Thank you, Dr.
Belay. Okay, Dr. Belay, I'm going to ask you to hold on to giving that clarity and answering on the question asked by the provincial department. I'm going to give an opportunity also to the members to ask questions of clarity and also to ask questions around the presentation just received. Member Mitchell and Member Cavido. Member Lecker and Makaleni.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, let me welcome the presentation. I think it's the clauses are set out, so thank you for making it understandable. Chair, I want to refer to clause 9 on slide number 15, and the you know, it's always a difficult situation when you get to a personality clause, because this is absolutely what it is. So if we don't get along because of our personality clashes, I throw my toys and I dissolve. I mean, because the minister becomes the executive authority ultimately. So I just want clarity on how. I mean, is there rules? I think in the principal act it was previously referred to rules. I think. Is there some sort of rules that will guide that before it comes to you put it as there's a total breakdown in relationship. Now, is there rules that will guide that to prove that there was a total breakdown in relationship before a board just gets dissolved by the minister as referred to on that slide? That's the one thing. So just a little bit of clarity on that. And then, Chair, the regulations as published at the end, and this is just mere request. I know that legally and as part of the process, you only have to gazette it a month before the commencement. But would we be able, as a committee, Chair, through you, get a draft copy of those regulations for and it would actually be nice if we could get it in consultation with this draft bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Member Cavito.
Thank you, Chair. And I also welcome the highly professional presentation, Dr. Phillips. And I'm very grateful for this. I'm speaking as a layman, alternate member of this committee, almost my very first sitting. So do excuse me if my question sounds a little bit wayward. Amendment, it's page 5, clause 3, the second one, on the health science education, the NHL having a more supportive role, underpinning role instead of delivering training and education. Now, as I see it from where I'm sitting, I may be wrong. As I said, I'm coming here to get onto the learning curve. There is very much that one can do in terms of having a clear split between training and support. The two runs actually concurrently. I just wanted to know that the training itself being taken away from the NHLS to reduce the burden. Who's supposed to give that specific training at universities? And when it comes to the supportive role, I'm very much sure that there should still be capacitation of students or learners or whoever, and we will have to fall back on training issues, training principles, issues that had to do with the training itself, because from that stems the support that is being needed. So how is this demarcation being clear-cut in terms of saying this is training and this is only support? I see a sort of an interplay, a cross-pollination between the two. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Member Cavito. Member Lecker?
No, thank you, Chair. I first want to talk to the issue of process or procedure. You gave an opportunity for the provincial department as well as the NCOP to give input. And I would have expected at least that members of the NCOP to give an input based on their deliberations on this NHLS amendment bill. So I first want to place on record that I actually don't follow exactly what process we are following. That's that. And the second point, Chair, I want to get an understanding to the fact that when you're talking of a diagnostic health laboratory services to the public and they're cost efficient, if you're amending this and replace it with that, is that not going to affect the concept of service delivery to communities? And the second part, Chair, talks to clause 13, wherein the amendment seeks to replace section 18, ne? By providing the minister in consultation with the minister of
finance may prescribe a financing mechanism to the service. Now, my question to that would be, to what extent are we going to ensure that the NHLS is self-sufficient in that regard? So for now, if I can get those clarities, then I would be able to follow on the concept itself. I thank you.
Thank you. Member Makalani.
Thank you, Chairperson. My apologies for arriving late. Let me start by agreeing with Member Lita. I was hoping that we are going to get a directive from the province when we were giving them the opportunity to give input, so that we can also understand to what extent have they discussed this and what are the issues that they think it will impact directly in the province. Because there are things where we differ as a province from the rest. And I was hoping that they would guide us accordingly to that. And I was also hoping that our NCOP delegate will also lead us on the deliberations there, so that we don't take this as if it was discussed for the first time when there were other levels where it was discussed. So I thought you would assist us going forward, Sustandi. It's nice to see you. Chair, going to page 6 of the slide. Here, it seems like this bill seeks to resolve an issue of gatekeeping. But if I read it through, it seems like the stakeholder engagement is being minimalized. Now, I need to understand, how is this going to improve the stakeholder engagement and representative to the board? So if I can clarify there, hopefully I'm not going to ask a question that was already clarified. But again, on page 11, it speaks about 6 members who must have extensive experience in the field. I'm not sure what is the interpretation of extensive in this case. If it can be explained to me, and what are we talking about exactly? And then on page 7, Chair, slide number 13, it speaks about the chairperson and the deputy chairperson who are non-executives, from the non-executive. But I want to just double-check if they will remain non-executive even after they've been appointed as chairperson. And just for my clarity there, Chair. And maybe a small one on the slide 14, on the number of days absent, the 2 executive consecutive meetings, usually 3. So I just want to understand, was there a specific reason why it's 2 on this one? I'll end there for now, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Gillian.
Chairperson, thank you. I was covered by the 2 previous speakers on the procedure, because I also came to understand if the department is giving an opportunity to speak, they ask a question. Now, for me, on this issue, on page 4, slide number 7, the second, third bullet point, to make the preferential procurement policy framework Act of 2000 applicable to the National Health Laboratory Service. Now, I'm a little bit confused. If that act was already amalgamated in 2000, what was the reason that act was not implemented? Because this is what I understand out of this. What was the total reason that it wasn't implemented? Will this bill make sure that it will be implemented in its full capacity? And also, when it comes to provinces, will this bill then also force provinces to make use and to determine that act will really be come to its potential? Because this is very important when it comes to any bill, when it comes to anything, that the procurement policy of that bill, it must be stipulated that it must be entertained in its full capacity. That's my first thing. Now, if we go further, if we look into the history that you provide to us, it is a very good history. It is also saying where it's coming from. Can the National Department, through this bill, make sure that the services will go to every corner of this country, that nobody will be excluded? Then, when I want to go to the question of the NCOP, and I was also a bit confused that the NCOP can't give us what was their discussions there. On page 6, the last bullet on slide 11, it is further proposed that the board is accountable to the minister. Is this board accountable to the national minister? And when it comes to the provinces, what is, if this is the national minister that the board is accounted to, who is then, when it comes to provinces, what is the role of the provincial MEC in the oversight on this bill and the implementation of the bill? Can I get that answers? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That is the set of questions for now. I'm going to let you respond.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to respond from the last speaker. The last speaker quotes the last bullet, which I had. I also said clarity because it's one of the things that we discuss in the NCOP, and Dr. Play, I said to you, we should state whether it's a national or provincial minister. That's the last bullet, and that's what member Gillian is repeating. Is the same thing that I had said. And to member Lekker and member Makeleni, and also you, member Gillian, I just want to state it categorically that this is the first briefing. This is the procedure that is being followed. This is the first briefing by the national department, hence Dr. Play is saying. There will be a provincial briefing. That's when there will be a mandate that has to be followed, that the insertion, because what has Dr. Plaid presented is and the amendments to that effect is what we discuss in the NCOP, and that's why I reiterate the last bullet on page 6, Dr. Plaid. And the province will have an opportunity to state its stand when the mandate comes into effect. This is procedural. This is the way it should go. Member Makeleni, Lekker, and I suppose you've been here. The public participation still need to be followed by the committee. So there are steps that you should go, Chair, and you should go accordingly. And we can't rush things now and say this must happen, this must. We must go procedurally and follow one step to another step. I hope the members and the past members who have been on this chair will allude with me when I say this is procedural. Thank you.
Thank you. The provincial department, there was a question posed. Member Lekker, was it you, Member Makeleni, to the provincial department?
Yes, and the clinic and I asked the clinic to and the I know they had prepared a detailed input that was sent on the bill. The members won't have seen that input, nothing. That's what Member Lekker and Makeleni were asking, but maybe the clinic wants to just talk to the process and it can also be submitted.
Chair, I have been communicating with the committee coordinator regarding the process. The provincial department will definitely be submitting comments, and draft comments have been prepared. However, as part of the process, we obviously want to hear what the National Department has to say and engage in this manner. And I understand that the actual public participation process hasn't been finalized as yet, and as part of that process, a deadline for comments will be set and communicated to the stakeholders. Am I correct, Jay?
Okay, thank you, Chairperson, through you. For the committee members, the process that needs to be followed in an NCOP bill is a six-week cycle, which is, this is the first briefing. Then the committee will follow the public participation process, which is now the date will be decided after this meeting. Then after that, from that input from the public, the committee will have now to formulate a mandate before the final mandate. That is where now Member Tandi will go and represent in Parliament. But this is just the first of the bill. That is what I want to clarify.
Thank you. I want to ask Mr. No. Mr. Marstall, sorry, I forgot your surname for that minute. Mr. Marstall, any input from your side with regards to what has been presented to us by the National Respondent? Now you have to get to a mic somewhere.
Chair, very briefly, on my reading and on the presentation that was given, there isn't anything yet. I was more interested in the post-public participation process to get the sense of what the public's input would be and how that can be reconcilable, if at all, with any proposals from the public. So for now, I'm sitting it out until post-public participation.
All right, so you come post-public participation. Okay. Dr. Pillay, then all the questions posed to you. I just want to ask, there was a last one on slide 20, the transitional provisions, what would that entail entirely?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the opportunity and the questions. Maybe before I respond to the questions, just to clarify my role, I'm here because the National Department brought the bill before Parliament, and the National Assembly, the Portfolio Committee on Health, debated this bill and also made amendments to it. And technically speaking, this bill is no longer a bill of the National Department, so it's technically a bill of this committee and other committees in other provinces. And I think the process of your engagement on the bill will identify whether you think there are any changes that need to be made. But what I will do is support you in explaining why we introduce certain things, and then you can see the logic or not in why we were doing it the way we were. So I'll try and take the questions in the order of the slides. I hope I captured them well. The first question, Chair, was can the department make sure that services will be all over the country? The NHLS currently has a requirement that it must deliver services to the public health sector across the country. So the NHLS has a presence in almost every public health facility in the country, either through a laboratory or through a mechanism by which specimens and samples are collected and taken to a central point. In fact, it probably has the biggest footprint in terms of a particular service in the country. So I think the NHLS is doing very well in terms of that. The challenge the NHLS has very clearly is to be able to achieve a level of efficiency at the same time having a national footprint, because every time you put in pieces of laboratory equipment in each and every facility that's not optimally used, it then costs to deliver the service, where there's downtime on the equipment. So it makes sense that the equipment is strategically based and samples are taken to those particular facilities in order for that to happen. I think the next question, going in the order of the slides, was slide 7 that you have, and the question was about the presidential procurement policy.
what happened was that the NHLS bill was promulgated before the preferential procurement policy framework was in place. And consequently, there was no reference in the NHLS bill to the preferential policy framework. Although there was general compliance with the Act, we had difficulty with some of the procurement officials in NHLS who chose to deviate, particularly when we're taking it through disciplinary processes as to compliance with it, where they said, well, actually, we don't have to comply with the preferential because it's not in our Act. Now, at the time when the National Treasury was bringing forward the preferential procurement policy framework, they should have done a consequential amendment to make sure that that happens, and they didn't do that. And so consequently, that was an omission. So the idea now is to make sure that we kind of have bells and braces and just close that. In terms of provincial departments' compliance, well, the NHLS will do procurement for itself, so it needs to comply, but provincial departments on their own need to comply because they're linked very differently to the provincial procurement. On the question relating to supportive role versus training, the reason why we brought this is that the Department of Higher Education, when they read the Act, and if it says that an NHLS is responsible for the training, it effectively implies that an individual who wishes to get some form of formal qualification, the NHLS must be the institute that issues that qualification. And technically, the NHLS is not an institute as such. It's not registered with the Department of Higher Education. It is an institute or a platform by which people obtain their training, very similar to what happens with other medical training, where people are registered at university, but they may use the provincial department of health platform to get their training. But the provincial department is not responsible for their training, but is responsible for supporting their training. So here it was just to clarify that the NHLS is not going to be the institute, but rather going to support the training by making sure there's an adequate platform for people to be able to learn. So that was the intention of that clarity. And then in terms of the next question, which was Minister, I think, I'm not sure, I suppose the lawyers must clarify this. It's generally understood that minister meant national minister, but if there is a need to provide that in greater clarity, I think that can be done in the bill. On the question in clause, on slide 11, clause 5, relating to stakeholders and you know, the restructuring of the board, what we had found in the current NHLS structure, where you had provincial representatives, was technically there was effectively a conflict because the provincial departments are clients of the NHLS. And some of the provincial departments, not the exception, which is the Western Cape Department of Health, would not necessarily be timeously paying the NHLS. But yet they're the members of the board, so it becomes a conflict that you're a member of the board, you're effectively the accounting authority, but you do not pay the authority for which you are accountable for. And so to remove that conflict and have an independent structure that is based on expertise. So that's the reason why we made the amendment. Then I think there was a question about the six members that have extensive experience. The way I understand the legal interpretation is that where there is no definition in the Act of a term, the normal English meaning would apply. So the term extensive would then, the normal English definition of extensive would then apply. I think the next question was on slide 13. On slide 13, the issue about non-executives. The intention here is to make sure that the non-executives are the chair and the vice chair. We had a situation where
once the CEO believed that he could become the chair as well, because it didn't actually say that he cannot. So we wanted to make sure that it was very clear that that cannot happen. Then the issue relating to consecutive meetings. We've generally had two, but I do know there are organizations that have three. So I think, I mean, if you would like to propose three, you know, it's a matter that you would propose back to the NCOP. On the question on slide 15 about total breakdown, it's a good question, because there's no test of it. And if you'd like to propose, what does total breakdown mean in relationship? Because I understand where you're coming from. Because if one party feels the total breakdown and the other does not, where does that then sit in terms of implementing this clause? And maybe a solution would be to have something in regulations that prescribed in detail, or how does total breakdown happen, so that it's very clear, so there's not perception of one party and not the other. On clause 17, slide 17, clause 13, the issue relating to the NHLS being self-sufficient. So the intention is that the financing mechanism should not place the NHLS at risk, such that the NHLS is appropriately funded from the national fiscus to be able to deliver operations. At the same time, putting in place measures that ensure there is efficiency of the body. I must say the West Cape Department of Health is probably ahead of the other provinces in terms of implementing many of the efficiency measures. And so our idea is to try and encourage the other provincial departments to do the same, where there are unnecessary laboratory tests that are conducted, which obviously cost the NHLS and the fiscus as well. Chair, then, I think slide 19, the question about regulations must be published in the Gazette for at least 1 month before commencement. So the idea here was that in terms of legislation, the regulations must first be published for comment for a minimum period of 3 months. The provision is allowing that before it's implemented, that there's a 1 month notice of implementation, because sometimes regulations can take immediate effect, and so to prevent the immediate effect, this is the 1 month. But there's before that a period of 3 months of comment. And then obviously I would assume that there would be a review of those comments, so there would be a significant time lag between the first publication of a draft to final implementation. And then the question about in slide 20, which is about transitional provisions. So the transitional provisions is intended to take the NHLS structure in its current form and migrate it into this new. Because the NHLS in its current form, as I indicated earlier, has the National Institute for Communicable Disease, National Institute for Occupational Health, and the National Cancer Registry, which would not form part of the NHLS in its new form. And they would form part of what's referred to as the PISA, which is the second bill, I guess, will be coming to you in a few weeks. And that bill will then incorporate that. So we need to make sure that there is a seamless transition in services between the two. So the transitional provisions is intended to achieve that that alignment, given that the body is one at this stage. So I think those were all the questions that I had. I hope I haven't missed any.
Sure. Chair, can I just put a query to Dr. Pillay? The Department of Health submitted comments when the bill was first advertised by the National Department back in 2015. And one of the comments that was raised was, well, it actually didn't go to the amendment bill itself, but the current act. And there was a proposal in our comments on Section 16 of the act relating to the provision which provides that public health sector service providers must purchase laboratory services from the service. And a detailed motivation was attached to the comments, whereby it was suggested that there should be a discretion to also procure services from private service providers. The question is just, does the department consider those comments, and do you have any response that would be very helpful to the department?
Dr. Pillay, before you respond, I just want to ask members whether they would want to follow up on responses that they have received. Member Lekker?
No, thank you, Chair. Mine is just one. I want to check when we're talking of perhaps self-sufficient, will NHLS prescribe fees for the services that are rendered, or what will be the process for it?
Member Mapuleni?
Thank you, Chair. I thought that question is very interesting that's just been asked now. And I'm very curious to learn, because in many instances when it is insisting that we should use certain services, they become very expensive for the provinces to afford and time consuming for the departments to do their work. So it would be very interesting to learn from the doctor. But also I'm still not sure on the issue of the stakeholder engagement. I hear the explanation, but further down here it states that the board only reports to the minister. So I still don't understand where is the space of stakeholder engagement and reporting by the board. Because I want to assume that they represent a certain interest and it cannot be of the minister only.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to ask a clarification on the composition of the board. So it states that the board consists of the following members appointed by the minister. But in bullet point E, there's a provision is made for one representative from the organized labor. So is that the norm? Because normally on a board you don't have a representative as a board member. The organized labor can sit in, but they're not fully board members. And then aligned with that, in subsection 9, clause 7, or 9.1, it says the minister must appoint a chairperson and a vice chairperson for the board from amongst the members appointed in terms of section 7.1, C, D, and E. So this per implication states that the representative from the organized labor will have a vote on the board.
Okay. Thank you.
Dr. Belay. Thank you, Chair. Yes, the issue relating to the proposal that the NHLS is the sole provider was discussed, and we did receive the comment. Just to clarify that this bill went through the National Health Council, where the provincial MECs and HODs are members. I suppose here you'd call the minister. And so this issue was discussed. And the agreement that we had at the National Health Council was that the member had highlighted the issue where if you said that the NHLS is the sole provider of services, that there can be excessive prices for such services. So the proposal is that the National Treasury, together with the National Department and the National Health Council, will prescribe the fees for the NHLS. And so in so doing, have a count of what are the costs of delivering the service by the NHLS and making sure that the NHLS is far more affordable and efficient than what that service would be in the private health sector. Over the years, there have been provincial departments who would argue that a private provider would be able to deliver a particular test at a lower price. And so those issues, the NHLS had difficulty engaging with because of the way the analysis was done, etc. So the idea was to, if the NHLS is going to be the provider of choice, then the provincial departments through the National Health Council will be responsible for recommending what those fees should be in consultation with the NHLS. So in the act where you see the financing and the fees, it's the National Department of Health together with the Minister of Finance must do that. So that was the agreement to try and solve that problem, if I can put it like that. The question around stakeholder engagement, yes, so this bill would require regulations as well as guidelines. And you will see that the requirement is that this needs to be approved by the National Health Council before it's finalized. And the idea is that provincial departments of health are the representatives of the National Health Council, and so agreement will be achieved at that level before any of the regulations can be finalized. On the question of organized labor is currently part of the NHLS board. When the bill went to, but was not part of our recommendation to Parliament. However, the Portfolio Committee on Health, after some debate, were of the view that given that organized labor was historically part of it, they felt it was important to bring organized labor on board, given that the NHLS will be an employer of the organization. And that was then inserted.
Dr. Karim,
if I can, seeing as we're asking about the private sector, if I can add to that from the service perspective, in that comment referred to that was submitted in 2015, that one of the key issues that our services struggle with, Chair, is the, and to be quite frank about it, generally long turnaround times and sometimes poor service that we get from the NHLS at the moment. Anwar will forgive me for being a bit more direct, but if we can just talk to that as well, because of the long turnaround times, it directly affects patient care. And that is actually a problem. You know, because patients need the results and because they're taking too long, and then I know from the service perspective, you've got to know more of the detail, but there are some specialized services that we struggle with more so than others, probably. So perhaps Anwar can address that as well. And maybe we must make the comments available to yourself, Chair. I was just thinking now, because members... Now, I don't have sight of the comments that were submitted by the department in response to members Lekka and Makaleni's questions earlier.
Yeah. And also, what is that specialized care that the turnaround time is so long, so that we know? And if it's part of the comments, then we'll read it there. Okay. Member Lekka, just before I give you, and also, you know, you spoke about patient care, so how would it affect a patient in terms of the patient care, how would it directly affect that patient? How would this amendment affect that person? Member Lekka?
No, thank you, Chair. Maybe this is going to be my last bite, but Chair, I like to be direct in relation to this one. The issue of the DNA test of the deceased persons who are not identifiable. What would be a common or advisable practice in relation to following a private route or this one of the state? I'm asking this because many a times where there has been victims of fire, people are waiting for something like 6 to 7 months, others 3 to 4 months, if it's quick enough. What is the opinion in relation to private or this one of the government? Because we find or we struggle to get into grips with that one. When someone has died, you want to bury that person and continue grieving. But in this case, it's not attended to or it's not explained properly. So I would like to get an opinion from the department itself. Thank you, Chair.
Member Gillian, did I?
Jefferson, I think it's very unfair towards us as committee to sit here and without the opinion of the department. It's totally unfair because the doctor has now put something on the table that he wants for discussion, but we can't participate in it. And I think we need to be more prepared when we come to meetings like this. Because for me, this bill is not only important for this province, but it's also important for all provinces. And if we don't have our opinion from the department of how it's going to affect the service delivery, then I don't think we can go into more discussions because it's unfair to us as members.
I tend to agree with you, and I want to take it further and say, you know, we need to get that info and then call the department again to so that we are from a platform of information, speak to the department again and pose the questions coming out of that document. Yeah, Dr. Belay.
Thank you, Chair. I think the questions relating to how it would affect ordinary user of services in the public sector. I think the front end of the service delivery of NHLS will not change. So I don't think a member of the public will necessarily know that the NHLS board has been reorganized or the structural financing has changed. So it will make they will not be aware of that. Obviously, it would have the effect of a far more sustainable organization than the way it is currently structured. Around the issues of service delivery, I unfortunately don't work within the NHLS, so I can't really respond. I mean, the regional manager for NHLS is here. I don't know if you would want to give an opportunity, and I'm sure she would be able to share with you issues around timelines and, for example, the question about DNA tests and the backlog, etc. I'm sure she would be able to do that if you'd allow me.
You want to take the opportunity?
So this is also with regard to the new amendment bill and the finance structure. So in terms of regulation, the bill states that the minister and the finance minister will consult with National Health Council. But where it comes to the prescription of the fees, by repealing Section 20 of the current Act, you take away the consultation with Executive Council, National Health Council of Health, the Provincial Treasury, and the Provincial MFCs to give input into the financial structure. So that is a concern of the department. So the entire decision-making platform where it comes to finances is with the National Minister of Health and the National Minister of Finance. So the stakeholders' input is where it comes to finance has been taken away as per this bill.
Can I just ask, in terms of the stakeholders and in terms of the report that you have compiled with your input 2015, is there input from the stakeholders as well of how it will affect them?
So, if you understand that the National Health Council is made up of the provinces, then the Minister of Health would have to take it through the National Health Council before he would be able to then agree with the Minister of Finance. On the side of finance, the National Treasury always discusses these issues with the Provincial Treasuries as part of the what they call the 10 by 10. So I would think that would be reasonable, but if you think you need to write it in, I mean, that's fine, but I don't really have a problem with it because the National Health Council is made up of the provinces, so I'm not sure which other stakeholders are being referred to because the provinces are represented in the National Health Council.
Can I just ask, in terms of that report that you have compiled,
would the committee be able to get a copy today still of the Karim?
Chairperson, we can make this copy available right now to the members if you... I'm sure there's an administrative office that can make hard... We've got the hard copies here in the clean. Maybe we can make hard copies, because I'm concerned, Chairperson, of a process now. The members now don't have the advantage of having sight of the department's concerns and comments. That puts you, unfortunately, at a very distinct disadvantage. You can't meaningfully engage now. We've got the opportunity to have Mr. Piller here. I don't know what time his flight is, but if you give us 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I'm sure, Nicole, we can make copies for your committee, and then maybe the engagement could be a little bit more meaningful. Otherwise, we'll have to recommit to briefing you properly, so that you properly brief by the time the National Department comes back. I'm in your hands.
Okay. I'm checking with the committee, and I think it is a more disadvantage to go through the report right now, and then to make summary and expect to engage with you. I would rather than say, let us have the report, we will engage with you as the department. And when we have the national department, because I'm sure in terms of the public hearing, the national department is part of that in any case. But we will, via the committee, a coordinator, we will engage with both departments and the department of the Premier and our legal department of Parliament. So we will engage with you. But is that report available electronically as well?
Can I just clarify, these are the comments that were submitted as part of the normal commenting process when the National Department advertised the bill, as is always done, and the committee is always free to request those comments at any stage from us. I just wanted to clarify that, and we've got it electronically.
Okay, so you can send it to Namonde then, and then Namonde will distribute it to the members. I'm wanting to ask the stakeholders, is there any input from your side that you would want to do now, or you will wait for the public hearing that will follow this?
May I say something? It's John Douglas here, and from a private lab, and certainly, we think that we would be able to make an offering which is equivalent to or better than the NHLS at times. We don't see ourselves in the same role as the NHLS. We like to see that we all come from the NHLS, by the way. We like to see the NHLS survive and thrive and train. We're very much service-oriented, and we think we've got something to offer to complement the NHLS.
Have you not used the opportunity to give input in writing with regards to what has been spoken about now?
Not on this specifically. In the past, we have made presentation to the Parliamentary Portfolio of Health, for example, yes, on this.
Glenda Davison from CPUT. I think my only concern is around the training. I still haven't quite got clarity in my mind where our students, which are biomedical scientists and medical technologists, rely very heavily on the support and training, and I'm using the word support here, of the NHLS professionals to take them through their fourth year where they apply our knowledge to the workplace, and they perform a very important role in the laboratories. And so that is just my concern. I still am not quite satisfied that our students are going to still get the same kind of training that they have.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Therese Fish from Stellenbosch University. To all the universities, all 23 universities, most of us train either technologists or pathologists. And we are part of the NHLS. We've got structures in place, the National Academic Pathology Committee, where we in fact engage on all matters relating to training. So the matter around training has been discussed extensively with the universities. And I think the issue around whether they provide a support, we've had that discussion, and I think the explanation is clear that it is around support. Because the I think as Anman said, it's not around the NHLS being the provider of training. They have to, however, facilitate training.
as do all the provinces where we have faculties of health sciences. And so I suppose for us the concern in the bill is really around the funding mechanism, because I think that is where the NHL is struggles, is that they have to fund our training through revenue generation, and that's not a sustainable model in terms of the issue around sustainability. So I think that is a key, and I think it's too the amendment is silent on the support that the NHLS requires for us to actually train. And so the provinces receive funding from Treasury for training. There's some funding that has come to the NHLS. So I think that is the issue. We are not concerned that the NHLS will not be the platform for training. I think it's the funding mechanism to support the training. Otherwise, we will not have pathologists to support our private sector and our universities and the health services in general.
Can you be a bit specific around the challenges that you have perceived around the training?
So Chair, I think, and I speak from the Western Cape, as a university in the Western Cape. 2 years ago, we had to have an emergency meeting with our deans and the NHLS specifically because the ratio of staff to revenue was too high in this province. We have two big medical schools, and our posts were under threat. Both our training posts and our consultant posts, and so that is not a sustainable model. So I think that was raised as one of the issues around why the NHLA's governance structures need to be strengthened. It is around issues around governance and funding, and so over the last few years, I mean, we really have struggled as a sector, the higher education sector, in terms of support, and our partners next to us, as the graduates get their degree, they're recruiting them. I won't say poaching, but because the NHLS has really struggled to retain its staff, and so I think we, as the sector, the higher education sector, we under threat in terms of our ability to train because we don't have specialists and technologists in the NHLS to train our students. Then is whether you provide a support in the bill doesn't matter. But I think it's around retention, and I think the measures that the NHLS is putting in place will strengthen both our partnership with the health services as well as with the NHLS.
Thank you. Member Gillian?
Chairperson, on that input, I want to ask Dr. Pillay, between the Department of Health and the Department of Higher Education, was there private discussions before this was put into the proposal?
Member Lekka, did you want to help?
No, sorry, I'm not finished.
Oh, sorry.
If there was, why is this still the uncertainty from the university? Because I think listening to the two inputs, the uncertainty from higher education in the province is still they're not satisfied. So I think what needs to happen is before going out with this bill, Chairperson, I think we must really ask the Department of Higher Education, Department of Health, to have a thorough discussion before we go to the road with this bill, so that we know exactly, is it positive for Department of Health, or is it not positive, so that we can really use it to influence for or against that section in the bill. Thank you.
Dr. Lay,
you want to respond? Thank you for the question. So all bills, before they are taken to cabinet, go through a process of consultation with the departments that are affected. This bill was discussed with the Department of Higher Education, together with the Department of Finance, as well as other departments. So the Department of Higher Education is in full support of the bill in its current form. They do not have a problem with the idea of NHLS providing support. This bill was published for comment. I did not see any comments from
from any university adverse to say we don't understand what this means. The bill was published by the National Assembly, and they neither did they receive any comments from universities. In fact, the committee asked me as to why is it that nobody wants to comment on this bill, even though it was published. So they didn't receive many comments on this bill at all, none from universities. This issue was not traversed at all in the assembly as well. So I'm a bit surprised that now people say that they're concerned. I'm not sure what they're concerned about, because this was published, people had an opportunity to read it and provide comment, but this is also a comment process.
You did not take the opportunity to comment then?
Well, perhaps I can just say I'm acting HOD at CPUT, and I only first heard of this 2 weeks ago. So perhaps the reason being that and I acknowledge maybe there wasn't a good handover process. However, speaking to the stakeholders in my department, these were the concerns raised, and I'm representing that here today. So I'm taking the opportunity now.
Member Letta?
No, thank you, Chair. Chair, let's agree that we are going to continue with this process to ensure that there's maximum participation and contribution towards this bill. And I want to say, if we don't take this opportunity now, we're going to miss out. Last week, ever since I came in this parliament, I've been raising an issue of the pathologists that are not enough in the province. We once had Dr. Brower moving from South Africa to Australia. Now there's another one who was at Salt River, who's now in the West Coast. It's a challenge for us as government. And at the end of the day, if we don't utilize this opportunity, we're going to miss out. So I'm saying, let's allow a process of public participation. Of course, it's not a real public participation, but rather with institutions that are relevant to address this issue. So my proposal would be, let's, at our own time, engage on how we're going to conduct the process of public participation and ensuring that there are submissions that are made onto the speed. Thank you, Chair.
I just want to ask Dr. Pillay, in terms of your availability to the committee to have this next session, if, because we have to discuss after you have left, if we are to propose to have this discussion next week, are you here? Yeah? Is it a fruit for your input to hand?
No, not next week.
The week after. The week after will be the week after. Let me just to check. Next week is the 28th, so you say no. The 4th is not going to happen either. That means it leaves us with the... At least us with the 11th.
Sure.
But we'll you can comment after. But we will engage with you. We will send you a written request. All right. Then I want to then say to everybody present, thank you for coming. We will engage, and we will engage via the media as well as to what we discuss here now. Tea and coffee is available in the lobby, so you are welcome to that. And then the committee, we will just do our admin task and discuss what we our way forward here. So thank you very, very much.